America weekend.
What is that?
Mozzarella sticks.
And can you see that there?
Blood.
Blood from where?
From the meat.
Blood from the meat on the mozzarella sticks.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
And you like to go out to eat, right?
Sure do.
It's one of the most lovely things we can do. You're with that special someone and you sit down in a restaurant, you order a meal, and you're going to just enjoy just all kinds of fine cuisine.
Yeah.
But did you ever really think about what's going on in the restaurant in a, let's just say, in a non-hygienic type of way?
I try not to, but yeah.
It's unavoidable. From CheatSheet.com, we found a list of disgusting things that restaurants do, allegedly, to save money. Now, after we give you this list, that lovely dinner you were thinking of going out to today with your family, you will instead be heading to the store to buy some budget gourmets, and you'll be making them in the microwave before this day is through. Here we go. The first one is marrying ketchup bottles. That's just an interesting term in itself. How do you marry a ketchup bottle? Well, here's how. They take out some of the old used bottles off the tables. They combine and they refill them. Now, I've often thought about this. What is one of the most disgusting things or unhygienic things in a restaurant? It's the ketchup bottle. Everybody touches it. Do they ever wash the bottle?
Don't you have to, once ketchup is open, you have to refrigerate it, right?
I always have my whole life.
You don't have to refrigerate ketchup once it's opened?
Think about it. You walk into any one of these, bistro-type restaurants.
It's always on the table.
Of course.
Well, this is my point.
Do you think they really put it in the refrigerator at night before they go home?
But this is my point, too.
What?
If they're taking a ketchup bottle that's been sitting there since, I don't know, lunchtime.
Right.
And then they're marrying it into another bottle that's been there for hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there bacteria growing in that one that's been there since lunchtime, not in the refrigerator?
I would sure think so. And it all congeals because it's been in there for so long.
So gross.
And that's why you don't use the ketchup. let's see. Some even combine the last little bits of the bottles into a bin or some sort of funnel mechanism. Then they pour all of this ketchup into empty bottles to make bottles that look as good as new, but they're really not. A lot of people wonder if marrying ketchup is against health codes.
Yes.
The answer to that question, it depends.
Oh.
According to California's health code, quote, condiments shall be protected from contamination by being kept in dispensers that are designed to provide protection, protected food displays provided with the proper utensils, original containers designed for dispensing or individual packages or portions, unquote, which means do what you want.
There's nothing about refrigeration here.
No.
This is disturbing to me.
Now,
there's no code for that.
See, we need to have on a nutritionist or some food specialist to get to the root of, does ketchup need to be refrigerated? In my house, we've always had it in the fridge.
Listen,
you can go to my house now, it's there.
I put everything in the refrigerator.
Everything?
Most things I put in the refrigerator.
I lived with a guy in college who said you didn't have to put butter in the refrigerator.
What is wrong with that guy?
His mother was a home ec teacher, so she's poisoning kids all over Pennsylvania.
Oh, boy.
And he would literally get a stick of butter and leave it on the counter in one of those little like plastic contraptions, a little rectangle that goes on top of it.
Yeah.
It would cause tons of fights. I would never use the butter. And if he cooked anything with the butter, I wouldn't eat it.
But didn't it melt?
It
got soft.
It got soft.
That's
and
weird.
It's laying out there on the counter for days.
You know what else is very weird for me? Those
what?
Little like mini moo containers or those creamers.
Thank you.
That you don't have to refrigerate. Mm-hmm. Isn't it dairy?
Yes. And they say, well, it's vacuum packed. Well, how strong is that vacuum seal? Because every once in a while, when you have one, it's a clunker.
It congeals
in the
coffee.
And all of a sudden, you got like this gooky thing that plops into your coffee and the cup of coffee is destroyed. So.
Ew. Stop.
How can you tell if the ketchup bottle on your table has been married? Well, if you see a glass bottle, that's a potential red flag.
Okay.
Several years back, again, back to the story, Heinz began asking restaurants to stop the practice of marrying. Many restaurants agreed, and now you'll see a lot of red plastic, non-refillable bottles in restaurants. Wait a minute. I was in a restaurant just on Saturday, and I saw them refilling a plastic bottle. You can still take the top off.
Yeah.
It's just like the ones you buy in the supermarket.
Right. They have twist tops.
You got to take the top off to get the protective seal off in the first place.
Oh,
so you can fill it with stuff. So ketchup, it's bad. It's a landmine of disaster.
This makes me so sad because I actually like ketchup on everything.
Ooh.
Ketchup and salsa are my two condiments.
See, I've just ruined your appetite for the next 2 years. The next one, microwave and pre-prepare foods.
Okay.
The restaurant business is tough to succeed in, and with average pre-tax profit margins as low as 2%, owners look for cost savings. A lot of restaurants, not only fast food ones, pre-cook and microwave foods so that when the lunch or dinner rush arrives, they can have the food out quickly.
Huh.
Now, I don't really know if this concerns me too much. If you order a certain dish off a menu, menu and it's out there, boom, in 2 minutes, you kind of get the idea that it's already been made and
it's
they just
fresh.
Nuked it.
Right.
It's not fresh, but I don't really... Same thing when you go to a fast food place. If you get a cheeseburger, it may have been made an hour and a half ago and it's under some heat lamp.
Mm.
Does this one offend you in the same way as the ketchup?
It doesn't offend me so much.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to a place that's going to do this, you have to expect that it's going to happen. Does that make sense?
It kind of makes sense.
Okay, I mean, you're not going to go to a nice restaurant in the city and get a microwave meal.
That's true.
Okay. Don't you run the risk of something that's undercooked or...
Sure. I would think so.
Salmonella or something, right?
Right? Like,
I don't know.
Like the great pink chicken scare of 2015 or things like that.
Have you ever accidentally bit into... Not accidentally bit into, but bit into a sandwich that wasn't cooked properly and it's raw a little bit in the middle?
It is quite disgusting. I actually went to somebody's house last year for a barbecue and they were serving me chicken.
Stop.
And the chicken was as pink could
Gross.
Be. And that becomes an awkward social situation because there's this person marveling over their chicken.
Trying to kill me?
Yes. And it's a one-way ticket to trigonosis. It's Ooh. Not good. It is not Blah. Good. Number three, menus.
Now, menus.
They never clean the menus, but everybody touches the menu.
Yeah.
Here's a sniff test for the menu, and
Ooh.
It doesn't involve sniffing. The next time you're in a restaurant, take the menu, put it down. Take your thumb, turn your thumb upside down, and with your nail, scrape along the menu, and you will pick up so much grime in that thumbnail.
Grossing
you
me
see
out
what I mean?
So bad right
you
now.
You see what I mean? Because the menu, everybody touches the menus. They're always there. That's the key. They'll wipe off the table, but they won't clean the menus. Can I have a menu as I'm waiting here online?
Sure.
I've seen somebody take a menu into the restroom
Stop
once.
Stop it. This is so gross.
Everybody needs reading material once in a while, but that is ridiculous.
Not in a place where you're eating.
No.
Okay, so let's bring it to the bathroom thing.
Yes.
You know not everyone's washing their hands in the bathroom.
Of course not.
And years ago, you know those little candies at the register? Like
the little mints. I love those things.
That they actually found like fecal matter or something.
In the after dinner mints?
In the mints. So they said unless it's like in a... In a little wrapper, don't go there.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up because now I just remembered in diners, you could see people literally, instead of like taking the little tongs or whatever.
No, they go with their hands.
They'll scoop. That's right.
Gross.
They will be paying for their meal at a diner and they just touch that $20 bill.
Oh,
they
gross.
Take that same hand and they shovel in and take about 15 of those mints. Any kind of community situation when it comes to food or candy, it's never good.
You know, I used to bartend.
Yeah.
And the thing that grossed me out that I felt that not everyone thought about was the money.
Right.
How many people have touched the money? Where has it been? Falling on the floor, falling in the toilet? Who knows? And no one's washing their hands
of
or washing
not.
A $20
no.
bill. And you're handling the money all night long. I'm sure it's the same with these waitresses and waiters and cashiers and stuff like that. How many times have they touched the menu, touched the money, cleaned the floor, something spilled on the floor,
Perfect
dirty
point.
Dish rag?
Exactly.
Stuff gets transferred all over
yes.
the place.
That is why you never, here's the thing, when you're in a diner, never order the toast. Because when you're like in a regular diner, let's say okay, when you order eggs or an omelet.
Yeah.
Okay, that comes with toast. What do you want, white or rye?
They're
okay, I'll take the rye.
They're it out with their hands.
The waitresses prepare the toast. They're touching money constantly. Every table they deal with, here's $3.
You
they stick it in their pockets.
My minds right now.
And they're not washing their hands. They literally go to the table that's next to you. They
wow.
pick up the tip that's left and even like get some change they left for them.
Yeah.
It goes into her pocket. She walks over. Oh, let's see. That guy Kalegi over at table four wants rye toast. Boom, she gets it out with her hand.
Mm-hmm.
She's buttering it the whole thing. Here comes my toast. And at that point, I don't want it. They don't think of these things. One other. There is a sub shop near where we live. It's so popular, even President Obama went to it a few years
okay.
ago. The person that is wrapping your sandwich is also the person that you pay. So they are taking the finished sandwich,
yep.
which looks terrific. The three preparers, the meat guy, the bread guy, and the tomato guy, they've got gloves on. So here comes your giant number nine, and all of a sudden, here comes Wendy over here who's taking the money. She grabs your sandwich. She wraps it up with her bare hands.
Ugh.
That'll be $17.25. And then all of a sudden, she's counting out. And here's the other thing, too, the thumb lick, which is always lovely,
come
to
on.
Count out those singles so you pay for it. And all of a sudden, you got yourself a number nine with a hunking helping of DNA all over it.
Speaking of that,
yes.
do you ever send your food back?
Yes.
I don't.
No?
Out of fear that something is going to happen
I've
to my food.
I've been told that. See, and ever since I've been told that, I always reconsider. And I will only do it if it's an extreme situation.
Me too. If I order like a burger well and it comes out rare.
Yeah.
I can't eat it. So I'll be like, can you cook it a little bit
right.
more? But if there's something minor and I'm kind of iffy about it, I'll just kind of push it aside or something, yeah. you know? Because one time I was at a place, burger came out, there was a toothpick with the pickle, and there was a nice curly hair right in with the pickle and the toothpick.
Garnish.
And I was grossed out beyond belief. Hair in food is like a big thing for me. I had a hairy egg incident one time.
A hairy egg?
At a breakfast place.
Ew.
Years ago, my family still busts me about it. The hairy egg incident, it's known as in the Staffo house. Anyway.
We could do a whole hour on that one day.
Oh, I hope not.
Get your family on, it'll be great.
So I sent the burger back.
Okay.
And it came out like 2 minutes later.
2 minutes?
And I'm thinking, they just took the hair off and gave me the same burger.
And spit on it. And got really annoyed.
Right.
There we go. Disgusting things that restaurants do that you should be on the lookout for. And now go and enjoy that dinner this weekend because it'll be just so, so tasty. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Staffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Sarah has been a professional babysitter for years, so people were shocked when she was arrested for being drunk while babysitting. Apparently, the oldest of six kids she was watching called the police one night and made the report. Sarah is over 21 years old, so what would be the actual charges against her? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Order in the court.
Sarah was charged with six counts of endangering the welfare of a child, serious offenses, and obviously the end of her babysitting career. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Did you know that your passwords are very, very predictable? And it's not difficult for thieves to figure them out. Here's the social science of it. 90% of passwords are highly familiar. Most use their name, children's or partner's name, even a pet's name. Teens use passwords associated with celebrity idols, cartoons, Homer Simpson, or Madonna. Those are the two most popular fantasy passwords. Some passwords are very, sexual. Finally, only 10% of all passwords are cryptics and use strange-looking, boring, and unintelligible collection kind of gobbledygook numbers and letters. What's the cheap psychological trick? Go with boring passwords. Don't go with something that's top of mind. Never, ever give a hacker an even break. Did I nail your password? Let me know at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.